thought about it till just now because I was thinking about strumming along, playing the guitar. There's drums in this song. There's no drums on a trail ride.
Oh, man. We are broadcasting live out in the desert at the Ben Avery Shooting Range where Arizona Game & Fish is going to have their big outdoor expo today. And when I say big, I mean big. It's like an entire city of white tents out here. We're out here. The show opens at 9:30. Right, Romy? That's what we decided?
Sure.
No admission.
No admission.
Free parking. They expect 35 and 40,000 people here this weekend. This is the perfect opportunity to bring your family. We're going to have expositions of all types. Virtually every outdoor activity you could get engaged in Arizona is out here represented.
Including kite flying, I think.
And kite, you wouldn't want to be running your drone right now, would you? Romy, thank you so much for covering for us last weekend while Mom and I were traveling.
How was the adventure?
Well, we'll talk about that in a minute, but I really enjoyed the 7 o'clock hour last week where you had all the second-generation contractors in, visited about the differences between the first generation was fighting in their business and the things the second generation fights.
It was very interesting, and there was a lot of different perspectives. Everyone had their own story, their own background, their own path on how they got to where they are. And I didn't even get through, I think, three or four of the 20 different interviews I had set up and pre-recorded. And it was a great broadcast, and I think we're going to have to do another one to because there's so much more great information that business owners could learn from these other business owners.
Well, that
it was a great challenge for everyone.
We were able to eavesdrop on you for the 7 o'clock hour, but we weren't able to listen to any of the other rest of it. But I got like 10 emails this week about how much everybody enjoyed the information about bees.
Bees was a fun topic. I learned a lot in that hour as well. Did you hear the news report at the top of the hour? There was a swarm of bees that stung somewhere down on McDowell. You could tell they weren't listening to the broadcast. They missed it. They should have been listening last Saturday. They might have been saved.
Okay, so tell me this. Are the bee population declining? Are we in risk of losing our pollinators?
You know, how many other things were we in danger of losing, or we're never going to come back, or the whole world was going to end because of this or that, and it never happened? How many other cases like that?
I've heard both sides of the argument that, you know, we are in high, high danger of losing the bees, and they're in a steep, steep population decline. And then I've heard, no, not so much.
Yeah. There's 300 different types of bees, and their big concern was the European honeybee, which is one of the more fragile types of bees that there are.
Oh, okay.
And that's what everyone's worried about, is losing that one as a pollinator. But there's so many other types of bees. They'll always be pollinators. The European bees are so much more mellow and friendly. Everyone would rather have that type
around. Okay, all right.
Friendly bees. That's
friendly
a good
thing. Friendly bees. Mm-hmm. Friendly honey-making bees. So, well, thanks a million for covering for us.
The best thing response to all of that is what Eric from Nisbet Family Farms had said is the two biggest bee populating countries in the world, Mexico, and it was either Argentina or Brazil, one of those South American countries, all of those are with Africanized bees. So the world's biggest producers of honey are from Africanized bees. So people around here just aren't used to Africanized bees yet.
And they're not little friendly. Jumpy.
Well, if you don't mess with them.
I'm good with that.
Just don't pick on them and they won't pick on you.
Raising honey has never been a hobby I was the least bit interested in, not even just a little tiny bit. But Romy covered for us last week while Jennifer and I were traveling. I was on a business commitment, and We took the opportunity while I was in Portland, Oregon, to have Jennifer and Carol Grace fly up for a few days, and we were actually visiting with our son who lives in Portland. And I want any of you that can defend Portland to call in right now, 1-888-767-4338. Now, I've been to some...
4348. You kind of ran that all together. Or you can text us at 411-923.
And obviously,
because we're getting ready to tell you our impressions of Portland.
That text is pretty limited. So if you're going to text in something, text one, I'm going to say, redeeming factor of Portland. Or one positive factor from... I've not been there. So I can't say.
Romy? Now, I have been to peculiar places.
New Orleans
at Mardi Gras is a peculiar place. I don't appreciate it. I don't like it. And that's not any. I like going to the Jazz Festival.
More locals.
But I don't like going to the Mardi Gras.
Well, more locals leave New Orleans.
Yeah.
People come in for Mardi Gras. They're like, I ain't messing with this nonsense.
And there's Madison, Wisconsin at Halloween. Halloween in Madison, Wisconsin, the night of Halloween, makes Mardi Gras in New Orleans look like a church cake sale in Mayberry. They take Halloween to the most farthest extreme. I spent one Halloween night in Madison, and that was enough for me.
Interesting.
Very peculiar.
Now,
but Portland,
what
Portland has billboards, keep Portland weird, all over the town.
Sounds like Austin, Texas has billboards, keep Austin weird.
And bumper stickers.
Well, they do a good job at it in Portland.
Portland is weird.
Have you heard the word, Romy, Portlandia?
No.
Well, it's a satire that they've created on TV about Portland.
Okay.
And it just makes fun of the culture because it is very, very strange.
My wife, Amanda, works with Southwest Airlines, and she says you can walk in an airport. She can walk in an airport and pick out what plane is going to Portland based on who's standing around waiting to get on, or if you see or identify that, hey, that plane came to Portland based on who's getting off. She said it's like no other city. You can just tell. Portland.
Well, Dad and I were talking about this last night with our daughter, Carol. Carol, are you there this morning?
I'm here.
We got Carol. So we were talking about this last night, and Carol's like, she was looking at us all funny. I was like, what is it? I think it's a strange place. And what did you tell us?
I said it didn't shock me because it's the same. It has the same feeling as being in the hallways at school.
So the whole city of Portland is like a high school campus.
Well, I think it's Never Never Land. It's where you go if you don't want to grow up. You don't want to have to go by the rules. You want to kind of create your own... you know, a little identity kind of thing.
If you want to defend Portland, give us a ring at 1-888-767-4348.
Easy on Carol. She's answering the phone.
It's a beautiful town. Oh, I will give it that.
It's gorgeous. It's the only town
I
know of. You can walk right into a state park right in the middle of town, Romy, and you're in this beautiful forest.
That's what I was going to ask. Is it beautiful because of architecture, or is it beautiful because of the Pacific Northwest growth?
Both. They've got some great architecture. I mean, my favorite hotel to stay in, of all the traveling I do, my number one favorite hotel is the Heathman Hotel on Broadway in Portland.
Heathman, got it.
That would fit as well. Sometimes
Heathman.
I have another word for weird, and it would be heathen. So yeah.
We ate really well. We found some great restaurants. We actually, once I finished my business commitment at the Heathman, we actually relocated to Lake Oswego, which is about 10 or 12 miles south of Portland. Gorgeous little place. We stayed at the River Shore Inn right on the shore of the river. Had the geese flying up and down the river every single morning in huge V flights. It was gorgeous.
And we took a walk by the river one day, and there were some young men that had just pulled in a sturgeon that was 8 feet long.
A white sturgeon. And it looked like a sea monster.
It looked like a shark, and they were just catch and release. So they had pulled up, and they were taking pictures, and then we got to see
that
it.
That was my next question. What does a sturgeon taste like? Is it like
They're not edible.
Oh, okay.
But they must be fun reeling a 7.5-footer in.
Said it took them 40 minutes to pull it in.
40 Woo! Minutes, and they were like 2 miles downriver from where he hooked up to it. So it took them all that distance. Man.
I was a tired fish when they got it in.
Yeah. So one of the things that's peculiar about Portland is they have a big, big heart and a big, big compassion for the homeless. And there are literally hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of homeless people on the streets of downtown Portland. And I didn't find them. They were not aggressive. They were not, egregious. They were very soft-mannered in their panhandling. They would, okay. the city bought an old hotel or warehouse, and they opened it up for anybody for free. You walk in at 10 o'clock at night. There's places to sleep, and you have to be out at 7 o'clock in the morning. Romy, the line to get into this place is 3 blocks long. I'm talking hundreds and hundreds of people.
That sounds like a cold place to be homeless.
And I don't know.
I find it very sad.
And I don't know if it's, I don't know what the accommodations are inside of that. I don't know if they feed them. But I was talking to someone from Portland. He says, yes, mayors from other cities in the Northwest will buy the homeless in their cities a one-way bus ticket to Portland.
You deal with them.
And Portland just has a huge compassionate heart for them. I mean, just walking down the street, I mean, you'll just see, you can't go anywhere without just seeing dozens and dozens and dozens. So
interesting.
It is interesting. So more on Portland when we get
and
back.
And we actually have two Portlandites.
Portlandites?
Online. To defend their city.
To defend their city.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, all right.
Hang
on.
If they want to defend their city, I want to really ask them, how are they going to defend the argument about chickens?
There you go.
Chickens.
Next.
More on that later.